In chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 12 this morning. Philippians 1, verse 12. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's Word as we read through this. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my change, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerity, supposing that they could stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. Father, I thank you again for this encouraging word that comes from the Apostle Paul, who's in chains. But Lord, he's in man-made chains. And that's it. He is absolutely free in your spirit. Lord, I pray today that as we look through this passage and Lord, as you speak to our hearts, I pray, Father, we will truly be encouraged by you to be the Christians you've called us to be, that you've commissioned us to be, that you've set us forth to be, that you've sanctified us for. And Lord, I pray that we will do it because of our great love for you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love this passage because Paul is basically just laying out his heart before the people, sharing with them how much he longs to be with Christ. But the fact is he's more willing to do exactly what God has called him. And I don't know if most Christians are like that. To truly care so much for other people that he's willing to give up the best to do the work that God has for him. If you have your outlines in front of you, I just want to read through this intro because I thought it was very fascinating. As saved believers, we can many times feel like we're torn between going home to glory and living here on this earth. The great 1800 Scottish preacher Alexander McLaren said this. Now, this is amazing. Listen to this. Many of us cling to life with a desperate clutch, like some poor wretch pushed over a precipice and trying to dig his nails into the rock as he falls. Some of us cling to it because we dread what's beyond, and our longing to live is the measure of our dread to die. But Paul did not look forward to a thick darkness of judgment or to nothingness. He saw in the darkness a great light, the light in the windows of his father's house, and he yet turned willingly away to his toil in the field and was more than content to drudge on as long as he could do anything by his work. Blessed are they who share his desire to depart and his victorious willingness to stay here and labor. They shall find that such a life in the flesh, too, is being with Christ. He is no more in a strait betwixt two, or unwitting that he shall choose. He chooses nothing, but accepts the appointment of a higher wisdom. There is rest for him, as for us, in ceasing from our own wishes and laying our wills silent and passive at his feet. To me, it's just a beautiful picture of a person, as Paul lays this out to the church at Philippi, of a person who's willing to do whatever it takes for the cause of Christ. Whatever it takes. If it's to be in jail, then he's in jail. If it's to preach in the cities that want to kick him out, that's what he'll do. If he's in the city where they chose to take him outside the walls and stone him to death, that's what he was willing to do, although he didn't die. And he's probably wondering, Lord, why don't you take me home? The Lord would say back to him, as he would say to us, because we're here today, I'm not done with you yet. I'm not finished. I'm in the process of doing my work in your life so that you can be a picture of Jesus to others. That's what God, He so desires for us. He so desires for us to have the same heart as Paul has, that no matter if I live or if I die, whatever it is, it's all for Him. And I'm willing to do either one. I want us to take a look at these verses together. And I want to begin in verse 19 and go through verse 21. Paul, he's writing to them, and he said to them, listen, I want you to know what's happened to me. Might seem bad. I'm in prison. I'm in chains. But it's not bad, because everyone in the prison has heard about Jesus Christ. He talks about the prison guard, and he's talking about all of the guards that come, and what they would do in the Roman cells is that they would chain the prisoner to the Roman guard, and if the prisoner escaped, the guard would die. But Paul didn't use it as an opportunity to try to get away. Paul used it as an opportunity that God had given him to share with every single one of those guards that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that they could have eternal life. Now, I wonder if we would do the same. What would it be like if we were in prison because of our stance that Jesus Christ is Lord? You might say, well, that's not going to happen. It could happen. It could happen. It's happening in places in the world right now. In fact, in China, if they find out that you're a Christian and that you're propagating the gospel, immediately you're cast into jail, no matter who you are or what you're doing. They're trying to silence the voice of God, but it won't be done. Because just as in Paul's case, these believers who are willing to go to jail for their faith, even willing to be put to death for their faith, are sharing the gospel with other inmates. Well, listen, folks, that's what the gospel does. If you truly know Jesus, you're going to want to share him with other people. But beginning in verse 19, he says this, "For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." Will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. He says, listen, folks, I'm here. Yes, I'm in jail. But you know what? It's not the worst thing ever, because everyone in this jail is beginning to hear. He is testifying to the fact that the prayers being offered up in his behalf are being heard by the Father. In fact, when you pray, everything you pray, God hears that. You might think he doesn't listen to you because maybe you're not getting the results that you would like, but I guarantee you God hears everything that you're praying. And Paul didn't say that he was praying for his release from prison, which is probably what we would be praying if we were in prison. He was praying that he could be used by God in prison. We can always know that when we pray in faith, God is listening and He is working on our behalf. He's working in our lives. Benefield puts it this way, and I love this. As we walk this journey of life, seeking to serve the Lord, there is great assurance for us as well. We are commissioned to share the good news of Jesus, aided by the prayers of the saints and the help of the Spirit. This provides great comfort and assurance for the believer. No matter what your situation in this worldly view is, whether you're free, whether you're enslaved, no matter if you're wealthy or if you're impoverished, if you're living in a mansion or living on the street, it does not matter. What matters is that God is hearing your prayers and He's answering those prayers if you love Him and are called according to His purpose. And that was the assurance Paul had in his life. Now, if you stop for just a moment and think about where Saul, came from. Saul came from a very wealthy situation. He was one of the leaders in the Jewish religion. He certainly had all that he ever wanted or needed in this world standard. And he had all the accolades of the people, believing that he was one of the great leaders of their religion. He had raced to the top of the corporate world, so to speak. But you know what? That's not what he wanted when he met Jesus. When he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he wanted the Lord. And that's what he chose to do. And he never went back. He never went back. He just continued to keep his eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of his faith. He had the assurance that no matter if he died in prison, or if he died later on in his life, no matter what, he had the assurance that the Lord was with him. And in verse 20, the first part of verse 20, it talks about his anticipation. Look at that. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that in no way will I be ashamed. Paul's in jail for preaching the gospel. That's why he's there. He wasn't shoplifting. He wasn't doing something wrong. Well, according to them, he did something wrong. He was preaching Christ. When you preach Christ as Lord, it means the governor or the president or the emperor or whoever else is in charge of the nation is not in charge. But Paul preaches that Christ is God, that he's in charge. And so he's in jail for preaching the gospel. And still, Paul remains hopeful and confident. You know what, folks? We don't need to be cocky, but we can certainly be confident in the fact that no matter what, God is going to take care of us. If we are serving Him, if we are following Him, or if we are giving our lives to Him, if we are in the process of sharing Him, He will take care of us. Not necessarily in the way the world thinks of being taken care of means, but in the way that God sees it. He knew that he had been laboring in vain. Was laboring in vain. No, he is not laboring in vain. Life is filled with adversity and pain. Serving the Lord is never without opposition or personal cost. That certainly he felt. The enemy would love for us to come to the conclusion that our efforts are not worth the gains. But that's a lie to be rejected. Regardless of what the world believes, there is no shame in serving Christ our Lord. The gospel remains relevant today, and the Lord continues to save. We must continue to share the truth with confident expectation in the Lord. Folks, that's why we're here, right? That's why we're here. You know, if God just wants us to be with Him, He would have already taken us there. But He has a purpose for us. It's not just so that we can live each day doing the things that we want to and enjoying the fruits of our labor, so to speak. But it's because He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a desire for us. And He's commissioned us. And He's given us a job. And Paul was certainly one who had taken that to the limit. And he was willing to do whatever. And so in the last part of verse 20, he declares his allegiance to this call that God has on him. But I will have sufficient courage. I hope that I will no way be ashamed. But I hope that I will in no way be ashamed. But I will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul refused to be silent, even if it cost him his life. And by the way, folks, there will be a time in this world. And we went through this in Revelation. There will be a time in this world where if you choose to stand up for Christ, it will cost you your life. Now, in some places in the world, even now, it could cost you your life to proclaim Jesus. We still live in a free land, freedom of speech. And people are trying to use that freedom to push forward all their agendas, that's for sure. But the fact is this, right now, you can stand on any corner, any place, and proclaim Jesus Christ. You can do that. I wonder why we don't do that. I heard the story of a young man who was in Sydney, Australia. And he came to know Jesus. And he took the commission of the gospel to heart. And he didn't have a platform. He didn't have a church. He didn't have anything. He just had the Bible. And he had a street corner. So every single day, he would plant himself on the street corner as people were going to work. And he would simply proclaim the gospel. Every day. When people would pass by, he would preach the gospel. Pretty soon, people started gathering around listening to him as he proclaimed the gospel. And it became such an amazing thing that they started the church. And they continued to proclaim the gospel. But when he started that church, he told his church, "We can be here on Sundays, and that's great. But I'm still going to be out on the street corners on Monday through Saturday proclaiming the gospel." I think part of what he's saying has left the idea of the American church. We just meet on Sunday. Oh, there's a few that meet on Wednesday night. That's it. We've done our spiritual duty. But God wants us to give Him everything, to be all in, to 100% follow Him. Paul refused to be silent, even if it cost him his life. He desired the Lord to be exalted. I wonder if we would be as bold in the same circumstances that Paul was living in. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he had written to the church in Rome as well, and he said this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, what He's done for us, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." You know what that means? That means because of what God has done for us, we ought to be offering ourselves up to Him and saying, "Lord, here I am. Send me. Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, here I am. Speak through me. Lord, here I am. Move through my actions." I think somehow there's been a disconnect in true Christianity in many people's lives, because they've taken the stamp of salvation upon their life and they wear it as some kind of medal, and they believe that somehow they're okay, but they've pushed away the actions of salvation, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And let me remind you, when Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, maybe He was really talking about your neighbor. Then look at what verse 21 says. Not only his assurance and his allegiance, his ambition. Look at what he says. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul knew that he was victorious either way. If he lived for Jesus, he's victorious. If he dies, he's victorious. Either way, he's great. If he continued to live, he lived for Christ and had opportunity to magnify him among men. If he died, he gained entrance into the presence of Christ. Either way, he's good. We call that good, good. Either way. This is the peace that passes all understanding. And the Scripture goes on, and guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. You see, to know who your Savior is, to have a real, true relationship with Him, to love Him and honor Him, is all part of what we are to be about as Christians. And as long as God leaves us here in this physical body, no matter how well it works or doesn't work, no matter what we do for a job here on this earth, no matter what, we are to glorify Him in our mortal bodies. We are to exalt Him and tell people about Him and live for Him. And then when it is time for Him to take us home, no matter when that is, we will get to experience the presence of Christ forever. This is the peace that passes all understanding. See, Paul wasn't trying to do the things that he was doing so that other people could look at him thousands of years later and say, "Wow, wasn't Paul a great Christian?" Yeah, he was. But he wasn't a great Christian simply because he was thrown in jail and all those other things. He was a great Christian because his desire was to follow Christ. His desire, his heart was set after God. He loved his Lord. And so because of that, he was willing to do whatever it took. Then verses 22 through 24 talk about this dilemma that he was facing. Look at verse 22. It says this: If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. He was in a dilemma. He was thinking to himself, "Man, living here and doing the things that I'm doing, and no matter what, if I'm being stoned, if I'm being thrown into prison, if I'm being cast out of a town, if people are spitting on me, whatever it is, I'm willing to do that because I love Jesus that much." Do you love Jesus that much? Are you willing to be ostracized and set apart and people look down on you? Are you willing to take the heat? There will be a time when you'll have to be willing if you truly believe in God and have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Although Paul was ready to die, he also understood the great joy of living for Christ in this life. Folks, I don't know about you, but as a Christian, you can't walk around looking like you've been sucking on a dill pickle all day. You can't walk around just acting like, "Oh, well, you know, everything's terrible. Oh, man, it was such a terrible day. Oh, you know." We can't do that. Because no matter what happens in this world, it doesn't matter. What matters is what has happened in my heart. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was on the road to hell, but now I'm on the road to heaven. I've been saved. I've been cleaned. I've been made new. Does that not excite you? Paul says, "Listen, I'm ready to go be with Jesus, but I know that if He has it in this plan for me, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay here and do what all He wants me to do." We are not called to live a life of selfish devotion, but to fruitful devotion for the Lord. And by the way, that's the source of real joy and abundant life. Real joy and abundant life is living in the presence of God. He even mentions, you know, in the last part of verse 22, you know, I look forward to that day of being in the presence of God. Look at what he says. You know, yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Sometimes I wonder if we really want to be in the presence of our Savior, or do we want to hang on to this physical life as long as we can? As Christians, we must know that to be with Him is far better than anything this world could give us. This world is fallen, but His home is not. Listen to me, folks. I, you know, the only thing about death that I am not looking forward to is the pain of it. And that's why I'm praying for the rapture to come. But I long to be in the presence of God. I can't even imagine how awesome it's going to be. And so many of us cling on to the things of this world and say, man, I just want to hold on to these things because this is what I have. And if you're holding on to things, you've missed the whole point. Because the things you're trying to hold on to into this world, they're going to be gone someday. Your family's going to be gone. Your jobs are going to be gone. Your wealth is going to be gone, or your poverty, whatever it is. The things that you hold on to and grasp the tightest in your fist, those things are going to pass away. Your relationship with Jesus will never pass away. Never pass away. This world is fallen, but His home is not. And folks, we're going to that place that He has prepared for us, and it's going to be an amazing place. And Paul was looking forward to the time that he would go and be with Christ. Look at what verse 24 says. He admits the need that he has, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. It's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. In other words, Paul put the call of his life above his selfish desires of his life. Yeah, I would rather be with Jesus right now. But I know I'm supposed to be here. We're supposed to be here to encourage you as a church. Paul's saying to the Philippians, I'm here to encourage you to hold on to the things that God has given you and then to take those things and to tell them to other people. He knew that he was needed. Paul knew that he was needed. He wanted to please the Lord and fulfill the call that was upon his life. What a beautiful picture of someone who is willing to do whatever it takes. To walk in the Lord and abide in Him and listen to Him and then do what He's called them to do. Then verses 25 through 26 talk about that determination. Verse 25 says, I am convinced of this. I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. He was confident in the fact that as long as he was there, God left him there for a reason. No matter what God has in store for me, Paul says, I will continue to serve him with all of my heart. This is one thing about Paul that I just truly admire. He had a committed determination. Now, the word commitment means a lot of things to a lot of people. Yeah, I'll be there, and then they're not there. That's not a commitment. Yes, I will marry you. And then years later you divorce. That's not a commitment. A commitment says, what I say I will do, I will do. That's a commitment. And Paul knew that God had committed to him, to be with him, to watch over him, to lead him and to guide him. And so Paul knew that he could, by the same commitment, be determined to do whatever God was leading him to do. Sometimes I believe we lack a true commitment to the cause of Christ. It's more like I like being a part of the body. Yeah, I'll give. Yeah, I'll show up for some stuff. Yeah, I'll do this or that. But it's not a true commitment. It's always on your terms or my terms rather than His terms. What are God's terms? He wants everything. He wants everything. God doesn't want a part of your heart. God doesn't want a part of your service. God doesn't want a portion of what you have. Because don't we realize that everything we have comes from Him anyway? And look at what He says in verse 26. He says, so that through my being with you, again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Paul knew that he was making a contribution. Listen to me, folks. Every person who is willing to live for Christ is making an eternal contribution to the kingdom of God. An eternal contribution. You don't know at this point what you're doing, what impact it has on people's lives. But let me tell you this, folks. One day you will. One day you will. I believe that one day as I have the opportunity to walk along the streets of gold and worship the Lord in all of His glory, sing praises to Him, I believe that one day someone might come up to me and say, just thank you for telling me about Jesus. Will there be people like that for you? I know that for Paul, there will be hundreds, possibly thousands of people who come up to him and thank him for being willing to stand. James Merritt says, there's no place to sit down or abandon the work of the Lord. We must abide faithful until the Lord calls for us. You see, we have the ability, because the Holy Spirit's within us, to make an impact for the cause of Christ. Every single one of us who knows Christ has been empowered with the love of Christ to effect a change in this world. And if you don't believe the love of Christ can't do something, it's because you're not showing that love of Christ. Because it will. Every time. Love changes everything. The love of Jesus changes everything. And so here's the final question. The question is this. Will we use the power or will we let it dissolve in our lives of apathy? I recall third grade teacher was going through words with the class one day, and she called on one little boy. She says, Christopher, what does the word apathy mean? And he says, I don't know and I don't care. She said, you're right. I pray that we are not going to be people of apathy, who just tip our hat towards God and thank Him for giving us a place in heaven. But we're not willing to live for Him. Because if we're not willing to live for Him, what does it say? Paul is encouraged. And he's encouraging the people with his encouragement to walk in the same path that he's walking. Now, folks, I know it's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's going to be super difficult. I know there's going to be times in our life where we would rather do something else. But what God has called us to do, what He's commissioned us to do, what He's chosen us to do is to be the bearers of the gospel. We're His children. That's our call. That's our mission, should we choose to accept it. Will you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this encouragement from Paul's lips, from his writing to his friends, to his co-workers in Philippi. And Lord, I pray that we would not only hear these words, but we would put them into practice in our lives. Lord, it is so easy to get distracted in this world. There are so many distractions. There are so many things that bombard our hearts and our minds every single day. We have jobs that take up our time, and we have things that we do after our job that take up our time, and before we know it, we run out of time, and we look back and we think, what have we done for the cause of Christ? Somehow, Lord, You're going to have to shake us enough to get our attention again so that we can walk in Your presence and abide in You. And no matter what it is, whether it is at our job or whether it's at the grocery store or whether it's at the gas station or wherever it might be, we are salt and light. We are sharing the gospel. We are looking for opportunities to invite people, to encourage them, to love on them, to share the gospel with them. That's the call upon our life. I pray, Father, we will follow through. We will be good stewards of what You've given us. And we will give back to You over and over and over and over again. Because there are so many people in our community, communities around us, communities all over this world, so many people who do not know You. We could tell them. Help us, Lord, to tell them. Help us to do what You've called us to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me share with you a couple of announcements today.